back here this evening. Good to have visitors with us. I trust you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. We will be in the book of Mark, chapter 10, finishing going through the book of Mark, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and hopefully finish up chapter 10 tonight. Lord willing, we will be in prayer for those that are sick and not able to be here tonight, those that are sick and are here tonight, and for those traveling. Those that will be traveling this coming week. Don't forget this coming up Saturday, the work day for the VBS, 8:30 to 12. If you can make it, be a big help, big blessing there. Brother Chase was sick last week. He was actually in bed, had to take himself to the hospital last week. He's doing much better. Some kind of infection came up on his back, and that he had some cancer removed, and then on skin cancer, and then another spot came up. They gave him antibiotics, and it swelled up like a big old boil on his back, his mouth, and had an infection reaction to the antibiotic, and he couldn't even get out of bed for like 5 days. So he's up and out of bed and better. They lanced that boil, and it's draining. But he asked if anybody was available this Tuesday. He wants to try to print the other two rolls. So if you can make it Tuesday morning and you're available, he'd love for the help this Tuesday morning. We were able to print some 2-3 weeks ago, but he's worked a little bit more this week, and he thought maybe we could print a little bit this Tuesday. So if you're available, 8:30, 9 o'clock, somewhere around in that time, be a big help to Brother Chase. That's this Tuesday. Okay, one other thing. Got to make a change in age things. We got some confusion going on about when kids go to this class and from that class to this class. And from this class to that class. And it's all dealing with that middle school age. So from starting now, if a child is in the seventh grade, not going to be, so when we start the Bible clubs coming up in the fall, if your child is in the seventh grade, not going or hoping or wish they were in the seventh grade, but in the seventh grade, they go to the youth class, not to Discovery Club. If you're in the seventh grade, you go to Brother Scott and Miss Stephanie's Sunday school class. If you're in the seventh grade, you can go to the youth choir, no longer in the kids choir. And if you're in the seventh grade, coming up, when you start the seventh grade and there are beautiful good girlhood things, you are available to go to those as well. Seventh grade is the cutoff. You know, and I'm trying my best to be appeasing to everyone, but sometimes it's impossible to please. Yes, Brother Scott. Soldiers of the Cross youth rallies, seventh grade, just bang, it's there. Now, if your kid is in the fourth grade and want to ride with Brother Scott and you want to ride with them to the youth rallies, they don't mind that, but we're talking about going alone, seventh grade, okay? So I hope that that change will make it a little bit easier on everybody, and sometimes it's just a difficult situation trying to figure that out. It's all dealing with seventh graders. So, Mark chapter number 10. I hope that didn't cause too much confusion. I didn't realize how confusing it had gotten as we've added ministries over the last 5 years. It has just gotten a little bit more confusing, didn't want that to stay confused, so that'll be a big help. All right, now it seems like we have not been in Mark for some time. You're absolutely right, because I was at teen camp, when was it, 2 Sundays ago, Brother Corn preached. Was that? No. Brother Jim preached. Brother Corn was last month. Brother Jim preached when I was at, we left for teen camp. And then last Sunday night, we had the missionary in, so we didn't pick it up. So it seems like we've been a while, so it has been. So I hope you're refreshed. We're going to be in verse 32. Mark chapter 10, verse number 32. And then we're going to try to finish the entire chapter tonight. Now, I'm not positive we will, but we'll see. I really want to, because there's something I want to tie in with the latter part, though the latter part is a complete different direction, but it kind of flows together. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. All right, let's start reading in verse 32. There it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 32, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid." Isn't it amazing how that you get away from the Lord and these things? This is what happens. They followed. And look what Jesus did. "And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Verse 35. "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." Boy, isn't that something there? Verse 36. "And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" This is not water baptism we're talking about there, so don't get a little confused there. Because they were all baptized, beginning by John the Baptist. If you just go to Acts chapter 1 and look, it says, to be an apostle, you had to be from the baptism of John up to this point. So this is not water baptism. I'm not talking about that. It's talking about the some other. We're going to get to that in a minute. So, verse 40. "But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to say to him, and saith unto them, Ye know not that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Verse 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with the disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And verse number 32 says, has this statement. It says, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem." And it's, as they went on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus began to prepare his disciples and began to talk to them. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 10, remember they were by the coast down there near Jordan, coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan. So they're down there by the coast, and down by the seashore, sea level there. Then we find them in verse number 46. Was it 46? In verse 46, they came to Jerusalem. So the Bible says they're coming up. Now, it's about a 15-mile journey as they traveled up out of the coast all the way up to Jerusalem. Probably somewhere in the range of 3,300 feet in altitude, they begin to travel and go up. And as they got there, and as they began to make this journey and begin to go up there, I don't know, maybe Jesus, he was God. Certainly the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. And Jesus being part of the Trinity, He knows, even before Scripture was actually pinned down and given to the prophets, what the Scripture would say. So, for instance, maybe perhaps as he was traveling up, maybe Isaiah chapter 50 popped into his mind, or he began to ponder and begin to think on chapter 50 of Isaiah 50, verse 6 and 7 says this: I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. It's an amazing statement there, verse 32, that they Jesus went out before them. They were amazed, maybe the way he carried himself, maybe by the confidence, maybe knowing that this was the Son of God. Isn't it amazing when you know for a fact that things that are done, it's all God, nothing else but God. But they were amazed, but they began to follow, and as they followed, they were afraid, and Jesus took them, began to prepare and to teach them. There in verse number 33, he goes and begins to talk to them about the death and what would befall him. As they got to Jerusalem, they would take him, the priests, the chief priests, scribes, and condemn him to death, and deliver him unto the Gentiles. Of course, was the Romans, and they mocked him, scourged him, and spit upon him. Here they are afraid. Jesus is pondering his journey to Jerusalem, and he comforts those that would virtually deny him and flee from him and run from him and not be around him. So he took them and drew them close to him. And this is not the first time that he's gone over what would take place in Jerusalem. It's not the first time. He's spent some time dealing with them there. In verse number 34, that he'd be delivered to the Gentiles. And this was not without God's understanding. For instance, turn over to Acts chapter 2. Hold your place there, Acts chapter 2. God knows exactly what was taking place. Jesus knew what was taking place here during this time. Don't think it caught him by surprise what was fixing to take place in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse number 23. It says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel, and listen to what it says, and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands, crucified, slain. Revelation 13 says he was a lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. And so this was not done by surprise. It didn't like catch Jesus by surprise. It wasn't like, who was that on Gomer? Surprise, surprise, surprise. When Jesus got to Jerusalem, the priests and the Pharisees, they said, oh, surprise, surprise, surprise. We got you where we want you. Now we're going to crucify you. He knew exactly where he was going. Knew exactly what was going to take place. And yet, in the midst of knowing this, he took time to bring them close, to teach them, and to spend time with them. He told his disciples what was going to happen to him, that he would die for the souls of men, but their minds, this is amazing to me. He's talking about what's fixing to happen to him. They were afraid. They followed. He paused. He took them close, and he began to teach them what was going to happen to him, but their minds were somewhere else. Have you ever been that? I guarantee you right now, somebody's thinking about something else and not the Scriptures we're going over right now. I've said where you've said. I know. I didn't just say yesterday and pull up into this pulpit as pastor today. I've sit where you've been, and your heart's been burdened. Maybe some of you worried about what's got to take place at work tomorrow. You're trying to get your mind organized, getting things ready for the job that's coming at hand. Maybe some of you have some kind of relationship problem today. Maybe you got whatever. But your mind. That's why the Bible says, cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You know how often we miss the precious promises and comfort of God is because our mind is wandered off somewhere else. Just gone somewhere else. But it's no different. Look what happened here. He's telling them what's fixing to happen. Instead of having their minds on the great work of God at hand, they were worried about how selfish and how self-centered and how that they might bring some glory upon themselves. What an amazing thing. It says there, James and John, come up, pull up beside, and begin to tell their desires to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 35. James and John, sons of Zebedee, coming to him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. You know, it's an amazing thing. Jesus didn't hear it. He was very careful about making some kind of blind promises. May I help you? Be careful before you promise things beforehand. Know the whole story. You know, Jesus has a desire to bless us. Unfortunately, He knew where this conversation was going. He said, oh yeah, I mean, you're my children. What father would not want to care for his children? He said, He didn't make no blind promises. They call you, hey, can you come help me? Yeah, I'll be right there. You get over there and you're mad the whole entire time about what you're doing. Well, I didn't volunteer for this. Well, yes, you did. You should have asked what you need me to come over there for. Well, I got to bathe this old cat. And this cat, he don't like the bath. And I need you to hold him down in the water. Don't be promising things all blind. Ask some questions, therefore you won't be all upset and bothered in the middle of the whole situation. Jesus didn't answer with those blind promises. You know what they wanted? Preeminence in His kingdom. No, all the people greater than James and John that's already there. What about O Enoch? How in the world can you... May I help you out? This didn't come from James and John alone. How do you know that, preacher? Well, flip over to Matthew chapter 20. Parents, I'm telling you, we've got to be careful. We make our kids think they're deserving of more prominent spots than others because maybe their last name, maybe because of the position we hold. And we make our kids feel like they deserve something greater than is theirs to hold or to have. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, it says, then came to him, talking about Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children. Who's the mother of Zebedee? James and John. It says over there. Worshiping him. Lord God, you're worthy. You alone's worthy. And I got these two boys. I say it right there. Worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Wait a minute. What did James and John just say over there? Same exact thing. And said unto her, worshiping and desiring a certain thing of him, verse 21, and he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant thee that these my two sons may sit, one on the right hand, the other on the left, in thy kingdom. They didn't learn this by themselves. This was taught, and it was taught at home. Be very careful what you're teaching at home. It shows up. Be very careful of the things. Hey, Brother Jim, if he would just have a little bit more in him, we could have him. Get up and praise, man. Preachers, The kids hear it. Guess what they do? Man, we got to have a better song leader, Brother Jim. Where'd they learn it? Mom, Dad. When a preacher just studied a little bit more, he'd know a little bit more about the Bible, he'd be able to preach a little bit better. They show up at the house of God. Sister Rena, will you pray for a preacher? He don't know how to preach. Tell the Sunday school, where'd you think they learned? They didn't learn that by themselves. It's learned. It's taught. So, Brother Scott, you got to pray for our deacons. Our deacons, you know, they learned that. This coming to get preeminence, it didn't come from God. There's one King of Kings, one King of Kings, one Lord of Lords. Hey, coming up here in a few verses, a few chapters down the road, there's going to be a right and a left, isn't there? What is Jesus teaching about right now? Crucifixion. What's fixing to be on the left and what's fixing to be on the right of Jesus? There's going to be a right and a left. But they want the preeminence. They want the now. They want the seat. You know what's amazing? These are the same couple of rascals with one other that couldn't even stay up and pray for an hour. Coming down there, Jesus is talking about what he's fixing to go through. Now, do you understand when Jesus said to him, you can't even drink of the cup I'm about to drink. You can't even handle the baptism I'm fixing to be baptized with. The total immersion of sin shall pour over of Jesus for our sake. You can't handle it, you say. This was learned. I desire a certain thing of you. Listen, let me tell you something. God does not answer selfish prayers. If your Sunday school teacher ain't teaching up to your stuff and standards, why not pray for them? That God would grant them wisdom and ability. Did not Paul pray for an open door of boldness that he might speak boldly the things of God? God doesn't answer selfish prayers. And when he does, I'll tell you what, look over in Psalms. Here's one. Psalms 106. You want a selfish prayer, you better be careful because here's one he granted. Psalms 106. Verse 15. And he gave them their request. Listen what happened. But he sent leanness into their soul. You get what you want, it ain't always what you think it is. It is not always. You know, he says you ask amiss that you may have consumed it upon you. What's going on here? Listen, we need to be others-centered, not self-centered. You know what's happening, James and John, right now? It's all about them. Lord, give us what we desire. Give us that thing that we want. Listen, they didn't understand the price that they was fixing to have to pay. They did not understand the price that was coming down the road. Who was the first apostle that we know of that's recorded that was put to death? James, was it not? What happened to old John? Where do you think we got the book of Revelation from? You notice that Jesus didn't correct them. Go back over there to Mark. And Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. You're not even understanding what you ask. You can't drink the cup of what I drink and had baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with in verse 39. And they said unto them, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized withal, ye be baptized. Jesus didn't correct them. They didn't understand. Matter of fact, go over to Acts chapter 14 real quick. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts 14, verse 22 says this here. Acts 14, 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And listen to what it says. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. They had no idea what they did. It isn't about the preeminent places of service. Jesus taught us many, many times throughout Scripture, and actually says, the Scripture confirms again, verse 45 in Mark chapter 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. First shall be last shall be first. Remember where we left off last time was in Mark? Back up in Mark chapter number 10, verse 31. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. They had no idea the price that they was going to pay. According to what we understand and what we can find out through history and some through recorded scripture, all of them went the way of martyrdom. Every last one of them. But right now their mind's not on that. It's on, let me have the right hand. This is the funny thing. What if Jesus would have said, yeah, oh, that's a good idea? Do you think the argument would have stopped there? Or you think James and John would have gotten an argument about which was going to sit on the right and which sit on the left? The selfishness never stops. Never. It actually causes a whole lot of problems and a whole lot of strife. If you look there and see, what does it say? In verse 40, but to sit on my right hand and on the left hand, it's not mine to give. This is what Jesus is saying, but it shall be given to them whom it is prepared. Verse 41. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. See what self-centeredness causes? Strife, contention, trouble. Let me tell you something. This desire that's going on, it's not the first time it's happened, not the first talk that Jesus had with them. Remember back over in Mark chapter 9? Same argument. They didn't like it then, and they thought they'd change his mind. He didn't change his mind here. Same argument. Let me have first. Let me be first. Jesus says, be first, you've got to be last. Well, in Mark chapter 9, it's over there, Mark chapter 9, let's see, I think verse number 30 somewhere around in that area. Mark chapter 9. And he taught his disciples, verse 31. And said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered. Oh no, I missed that. That's talking about when he's going to be crucified again. Keep going. And the understanding Sam was afraid, verse 33, and he said in Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked, okay, verse 35, and he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last. Now in verse 34, they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest, verse 34. So this is not the first time they've had this here argument. Over in 1 John, Diotrephes, I forget his name over there, somewhere, 1 John, 3 John 9. There was another man in the church. He wouldn't receive nobody in the house unless he had to say so. 3 John 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have agreements among them, receiveth us not. This here has happened and happened and happened and happened. This desire to have self-exaltation even goes on today. Many preachers run around like they're the king of the rodeo. Many church members. If we're not there, you're not having church. If we're not there, you can't do this. You're not there, you can't do that. Be in your place. Church doesn't operate around single members. Operates as a body. That's how this scriptural, this biblical. Christ says, you don't understand what you're asking. You don't understand. You're asking for the first, and to be first, you've got to be last. You know, the Bible's very plain that those that humble themselves, God will exalt. God will be the one that exalts them. And going through that, then he tells them, verse 43 and verse 44, he again reaffirms to them, listen, if you want to be great, you've got to be a minister. You've got to be a servant. You want to be chief, you've got to serve all. This is God's plan. That is contrary to society, isn't it? Society teaches us you got to step on everybody. You don't get to the top, you got to be willing to kick people down. That's not how it's supposed to work in God's economy. What did he say to them? The Gentiles, in verse 42, Jesus called them and said unto them, hold up, guys. You know that which is accounted to rule over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Verse 43, Jesus said this, but so shall it not be among you. That's not God's plan. Not God's plan at all. He's the head. We're the body. We follow the head. So it is amazing how much emphasis is placed on this by Jesus in his earthly ministry. It really is. And he goes on. And he says, listen, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be ministered, and to give his wife a ransom for many. Praise God. Aren't you glad it wasn't James and John giving themselves up for ransom? It was the Son of Man, the only one worthy, the precious Son of God, that was the only one worthy to give himself for many should be saved. According to Isaiah chapter 53, many shall receive redemption through what Jesus did in faith in Him and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it kind of just stops there. Jesus, I don't know if he got their attention, and they begin to travel again. And they came into this place called Jericho. Verse 46. And this is what I want you to... I wanted to get to this point to try to tie this together. I know it's completely different. Here's blind Bartimaeus. He's over there begging. He is begging for something besides sight until Jesus shows up. He's begging for alms. He's begging for help. He's begging for material things. And then Jesus of Nazareth, verse 47, and he shows up and he begins to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. Now remember when we started this. They're headed out. Jesus in front. They're following. They're afraid. He pauses. Come on, guys. Come up here and let me teach you. We're headed to Jerusalem for a reason. I'm going to be turned over. The priests, the scribes, they're going to get me. They're going to turn me over to the Gentiles. They're going to crucify me. That didn't have their attention. Let me be first, James. Let me be first, John. And then the other ones got upset. They got mad. Jesus began to teach them, hey, you can't do that. This is serious teaching going on right now. And as they travel, here's a blind man. Just an old beggar. Crying out for mercy. First he needed help. Alms. You know what he's asking for? Give me alms. You know what the answer was? Jesus. Do you understand? In all this traveling, all this commotion, everything going on here, Jesus stopped and paused for a blind man. And the Bible records his name, blind Bartimaeus. Names his father, son of Timaeus. Sitting by the highway, side begging. And when he heard that he was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say unto Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who have not believed, lest they should see the glorious gospel be saved. We were blind. We were dead in trespass and sin. We were lost and on our way to a devil's hell. And yet the God of the sovereign universe paused when we cried out and saved our soul. He paused for you. This was a man that could do him no good, no help. He's blind. This was a man who had nothing to offer. He's a beggar. Alms for the blind, alms for the blind. He's in a dispute with the ones, the foundation of the church. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, he said, first in the church, the apostles. This is the foundation. And they're arguing amongst themselves. He's trying to teach them, hey, this isn't right, guys. This is how lost people act. This is not how we act. He paused with compassion. You know what he's saying? The emphasis, guys, is the loss outside these doors. Guys, the emphasis is not the right hand or the left hand. I'm going to the cross to die for the loss. Here is a lost man crying out. Guess what you find? This is amazing as he cries out. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many just, hey, Bob Barnes, hey, shh. Go ahead, what? That's Jesus of Nazareth. Hey, shh, quiet. Happens then. Happens all throughout churches. Somebody's crying out. Need to be saved. We don't want to disturb the master because the master is teaching some deep doctrinal, theological things.